Welcome to Google News Update. What's going on, everybody? This is your host, Michael Baker. What's going on? And always with me is my host, co-host here, Mike Bennett.
What's goody-goody, everybody? Mike Bennett here.
Yeah, man. This is episode 10. I want to say this is episode 10. Today, we got a couple topics that we're going to talk to y'all about. First topic that we're going to hit you off with is that the Google has reported testing playing with Play Music's best feature in YouTube Music. Basically, what they're going to be doing is bringing over a major feature from Google Play Music, which is one version of Google's. You know, Google tends to have multiple versions of the same app, which is one of them confusing things about Google. Like, they have Google Play Music, and they're going to move that stuff over, particularly one of the best features, over to YouTube Music. As they eventually phase out Google Play Music for YouTube Music. The next article that we're going to talk about is title here is a straight line from Google App or Google Maps to Clearview AI. Google Maps and Clearview AI basically are two crawling companies, and we're going to talk about how they collect data and how they. One company may seem like it's illegal and another company is considered to be illegitimate. And then the last topic that we're going to talk about is Google's parent company, Apple, or Alphabet, not Apple.
Right.
You wish that that would happen. Google's parent company, Alphabet, is no longer a $1 trillion company after latest earnings miss. We'll talk about that a little bit more as well. But main topic that we're going to talk about so far is about the Google reportedly testing Play Music's best feature on YouTube Music. If you are a Google, YouTube Premium subscriber, or if you just subscribe to Google Music, you also get YouTube Premium with it. But one of the main features that you already get is, you know, similar to any other streaming services that you get, you know, that 30 million collection of music. When Google Play Music first came out, one of the greatest features that they had that no other streaming service had that I loved it for was that you got to upload all your original music up to Google Play. I mean, so I remember when I was doing all the downloads from places of getting all the music, all the mixtapes, all the albums and all that stuff back in the day.
That
Piff and other mixtape sources. I mean, like, I was able to upload all that stuff to Google Play Music. So even with the 30 million songs that they gave you, if there was anything that wasn't on that list that you had, you know, your own versions of songs and stuff like that, you could upload it to that and allow you to stream it anywhere, just like all the rest of the music. And as they start to do this migration to YouTube Music, and as YouTube Music came out, they never really had that functionality in there. And people really don't like YouTube Music in a lot of ways because it does miss out on a lot of features that Google Play Music has. So, like, I find myself going back and forth between the two a lot, where I'll be like, yeah, I'm playing music on here sometimes, and then trying to test out some of the features of YouTube Music just to be like, all right, let me get used to it. Let me see what it does. And then immediately want to revert back to Google Play Music because there's some functionality, some feature, some song that I can only seem to find on Google Play Music in comparison to music. So, like, just that back and forth between the two. And I got a lot of mixtapes. Like, even before that Piff, back when they were just making mixtapes, and I had to record my CD off the computer back into the computer.
Like, Wave 5.
Yeah, something like that. I uploaded all that stuff to Google Play Music, and it's been up there since then. And, like, I mean, I have backups of it, but I'm not about to pull out a disc of any form like that.
Yeah.
I just stream everything. And I'm happy to see that already, because when they were talking about it, it was like, yeah, you get to upload 50,000 songs. And I remember I had like 66 gigs worth of music. It was like 32,000 songs. And I was like, yeah, all that stuff is going up there.
All that. I think what's cool about it, bro, is that, you know, so because, like, you hit the nail right on the head, man. It seems like why this is such a good thing. So it's two things I see here. Like, as far as the technology goes, it positions YouTube Music as, so that, like you were saying, the going back and forth and stuff like that, whenever you have a platform merge, you know, it makes it easier for people to, you know, converge over, to, you know, to buy into or use that new, you know, the newness of that application, right? Because they have that functionality now. But also from like a musical standpoint, there's a lot of music out there, man. If you just, if you're like a person that just loves music, and you're in touch with stuff, you know that artists release, some of your favorite artists release music that will never make it to the radio, that was only like, it's some stuff I had from back in the day where it's like music sessions. Like, I remember I had this, it was this music session I had downloaded, but it was like Big L and Jay-Z was in. It was like freestyling back and forth in the studio or somebody that would record it. Like, you would you would miss out on stuff like that because of like the, I don't know what you would call it, but I guess the put togetherness, I don't have a word right now, of like, you know, just dealing with the mainstream stuff of what has been decided by the music in their conglomerate to put out. But
indie market, like not this indie market that they got now where it's a industry. This is like original indie. Like,
right. Like, people don't know, like, see this, for example, like people don't know, and kind of taking it for like a, you know, musical, like hip hop stance, like people don't know that the take, you know, the whole, there was a beef between Nas and Jay-Z. Many people don't know that it was actually started by Nas. And you were able to go back. They have a recording of like when Nas did like a freestyle over the radio where he was coming at Jay. But see, because, you know, that audio wasn't available to everybody, they just got the takeover, right? That's kind of, they feel like this Jay-Z came out of nowhere. But, you know, you have an opportunity, like when you download stuff or you have that, you can upload that stuff now to kind of relive that experience. So I think that's what really likes, again, the fact that Google Play Music already had, the Google Music had that already, you know what I mean? Then they're phasing that type. It's not just a functionality, but when they do that, because of the type of functionality, they're phasing over that experience into YouTube Music. It's a win for them because, like you said, no other streaming platform has that ability. The only thing I think about it is that
do that actively, like you can get when it was like the Google Music Manager software. You install it on your computer and it looks for all your MP3s and it sends it up.
So that's tight, man. The only thing I think about though is that how would that be regulated as far as like copywriting issues?
And we keep mum's word on that one, bro. Yeah. And nobody say nothing, ain't nothing happening, man. That's just how it was. Like, I feel like Google just didn't want to say nothing about it. They kept their mouth shut on it. They never really asked questions. You know, they got the technology to find out whether you paid for the music or not, whether it was copyrighted or not. But it's one of those things like, possession is 9/10 of the law type thing. It's like, how you gonna say this ain't mine? I uploaded it. Like, that's what it is. So like, Google ain't asked no questions. The FCC, FTC, they ain't never say nothing about it. So, you know, it is what it is.
Like, it's not, we're not, we didn't steal it. It's just peer-to-peer sharing.
Yeah, exactly. You know what
I mean? Exactly. I'm not selling this. Actually, I'm paying to do this.
Like, it's hard for them to say. Like, who's to say I didn't really buy the album, put it in the computer, turn it to an MP3, and then upload it up there? Is that against my license? I mean, can I record a copy of my own CD so I can listen to it on something else? Do I have to only? And that's the legal stuff that they do too. They'd be like, oh no, you only purchased a license to this album so that you can only listen to it on this CD. And like only 10 people can be in the room with you when you listen to it. what are y'all talking about? Like, my music now. I own this now. I'm the captain. What are y'all talking about? Get out my face. How's Apple? Go.
I run this piece.
Like, Google ain't say nothing about it. So, I mean, it is what it is. But I'm happy that they're actually doing it because for a while people just thought that they were just going to ignore that feature and just move on. And it's good because people wanted their music. And it was like, after you uploaded it up there, similar to me, like I got my disc somewhere, but I don't know where they are to have all my backups. I got my backups, all my music, but I ain't had to use them in like 10 years because it's been off in Google.
I remember it's important because I didn't got rid of like a seat, like my CDs, man. Like, I feel like looking back on it now, I shouldn't have. Mm-hmm. But, you know, now that we got this functionality, like it just, because I got stuff on my computer and it's like, yo, I need that. I need that. I can't go nowhere. If it could, you know, I've gone through this thing before where I had it stored on my laptop and then my laptop, of course, broke. So I had to pull a hard drive out, then get it encapsulated, you know, then have that. Yeah, like having to do all that, man, it's crazy. So the fact you can just upload that and that's a functionality you got now, like, yo, that's gold.
It was great when it first came out, and I was like, yo, I'm sold. And that's why I ain't never go to Spotify, I ain't never go to Apple Music. I was just like, yo, I got all this stuff before before music streaming was out, when Pandora was the only thing popping.
Right.
I got all the stuff that I can upload to Google. Now y'all all want me to join in. Nah, I'm gonna just stay with Google for a while. Yeah, we'll see. When the functionality happens, we'll see. I'm still skeptical until it happens. I mean, next article that we got is a straight line from Google Maps to Clearview AI. This is an article from The Verge. Subtitle is "A Mostly Forgotten Privacy Scandal from a Decade Ago Feels Freshly Relevant in Maps 2015's Birthday." Basically, what they're dealing with here is talking about the idea of what data is and whose data is whose. And Clearview, like we were talking about with Facebook on the other show, Clearview has been, you know, it's been in the news recently because they've been caught to have been had to have been scraping images from social networks like YouTube, like Facebook, like LinkedIn, scraping all these images. Particularly, they have about 3 billion images worth of photos to be able to identify people for legal situations, for law enforcement. And they've since had like cease and desist letters come out for them to stop doing that stuff. But it's reminiscent of Google, and when Google came out with things like Google Maps and particularly Street View, which is one of the main things. Just a lot of industries in general, but Google in a lot of ways, because a lot of this data, you know, if you take Google search, for example, all they really doing is scraping the internet, looking for public information that they can sort and organize. And that's how you essentially get Google search. I mean, there's a big machine that happens in the middle piece, but on one side, it's bots looking for information. On the other side, it's people that need the information that the bots found. And like Google's middleman pieces being the middleman for that. And it's the same way with Google Maps. You know, the Earth is a whole bunch of public data. Being able to go into, you know, get all the blueprints for street layouts and building layouts, and what they do with satellites where they're scanning large landscapes and using these airplanes, even to the point with like Google Maps, they used to use airplanes to fly around to scan cities to see what cities look like so that they can actually add them into Google Maps. Just the idea and the deal of what privacy is and what whose data is whose and what's the concerns with all this data being collected. It's just a reminiscent, like it's like a nonstop repeated topic when it comes to data collection and what is considered public data. What is considered private data when you're in the public? Just because you're in the public, is your public data considered? Because I'm in a public space, am I considered part of this potential data collection? And how do I actually pull myself out of it? It's one of those things with Google and Google Maps and Google in general, it's kind of an iffy thing. It's like some of the businesses that they're in, even though it is beneficial to the large masses, it can become one of those things that's like problematic to the masses as well. I'm sure a lot of things can be planned, just having access to pinpoints of where things are and located at, you can plan out a lot of bad events.
I won't
bring up to everyone per se, but you know, you got Google Maps, bro, you can map out any attack, anything you want.
Yeah, it's things where, you know, like on Google Maps, man, there's times where you zooming in on a house, something like that, because of how they took pictures, you can see somebody's face, you know what I mean, walking by. There's all type of information you can derive from that. You know, a picture has 1,000 words, right? So you see me walking down the street, so on a Google Maps, you're seeing my face, you're like, well, does he live around here? Who's it? You identify who I am, you know, all this stuff like that. I think, though, that but like what was brought up in this article makes sense, and or what they're alluding to, that yes, it becomes difficult to sit here and pretty much what you're doing is having to put your trust in these corporations that they have your best interest in mind, at least they should, versus like, you know, what you see in reality, like with a Clearview AI, they've been, you know, they have the thing going on where they're collecting people's, you know, faces, you know, against their will and not making it available to them, or even making it available to them directly, or even making it public what they're doing with this. You know what I mean? Stuff like that is cause for concern, and the fact that, you know, although I feel like on a more practical sense, it's that same idea of, you know, we have so not to get too political or anything like that, but you have the whole thing with bad this idea that all cops are bad, right? You know, you have like, but you know, the argument is, you know, there's good cops that exist. Like I say, they're like, oh, my brother's a cop, and I know he don't do this and this, and that's true. But the fact that there's so much, like, there's so many reports and things like that happening where there are cops that is not, you know, they're bad or not doing the right thing, it leads you to question, like, what is, you know, is the whole thing good or bad? And yeah. I think they're, like, you know, like, looking at, you know, making that comparison to, like, what's going on in the IT industry. You have companies like, you see, Clearview, where they may be that one apple and, like, in the batch that spoils everything. You know what I mean? Google... Where in a sense, you can argue, you can make an argument that like some say it's bad, some will say it's okay, but then you have a clear view where the general consensus is what they're doing is effed up, you know. Yeah. So I'm like, what are you as an end user, you're at the mercy of these companies where you've given all the information, leads you to question like, yo, what's good and what's bad, or who's on my side and who's not, you know. Yeah. But you know, I think that over the course of time, if you just look at this is the reason why it points out here why it's so good to have like solid public relations and for you to be public with what you're doing. I think Google, in a sense, has, at least in comparison to Clearview, they've done that a lot, you know, a lot better, right? Clearview ain't done anything. They got a single page, whereas everything, you know, Google has, you know, stapled themselves as being a part of people's lives, you know?
Yeah, I mean for to be a company called Clearview, they definitely like aren't really clear about their points of views and their opinions and what the hell they even are for real. Like they really keep everything hidden from them. To be Clearview, you really can't see much about them. It's kind of a, whereas in Google's case, I mean, everything for the most part is publicly known. Like it's about whether you search hard enough to find out about that information, but like 90, I won't even give a percentage, but a lot of their information is just publicly available. And that's sort of how their ideology about how they run their business is. Mm. It's just sort of available to you. You may have to dig a little bit. I mean, that's just sort of how information is. If you want to hide something from somebody, you put it in a book, but like, if you do some digging, you will find that information, and then you can't really say whether they're hiding it or whether it's just hard to find. And it is one of those things. At that point, then you can have the debate about whether it was like malicious or not. But like, you can see in somebody, in a case like Clearview, yeah, they even though they're working for the law enforcement, is definitely some malicious intent. The way that they sort of kept everything subvert, they didn't tell anybody, they don't give this information out to anybody but law enforcement. And I figured, you know, I guess to keep it private so that the criminals don't know, but I mean, shit, half 90% of the people that they look at when they do a sweep are not the criminals. So it's sort of like,
yeah,
it's sort of like with a security camera, I guess. Like, you know, when security cameras are up, it's recording people all the time. But I mean, the only time it's being used is that one case where it was a crime and you're only really looking for one person. But I mean, the camera doesn't look, it recorded people forever. But even in those scenarios, people tend to record over or they'll delete the video after a week or so. It's not sitting there forever and ever. Whereas, you know, with the internet, the cloud being the way it is, you know, you put that information in there, it's there.
Once it's there, it's there.
It's not leaving anywhere.
Maybe back in the day, you had that luxury of, even back then, you know, they say once you put it there, you know, it's on the internet forever. One of my teachers told me that a while back, but now you got the cloud. It's like, as soon as you upload something, it's, you know, it's stored somewhere.
Yeah,
you know,
it's cloned. I mean? You upload something to YouTube, it's getting cloned across the world.
Yeah.
So they can hit everybody as fast as possible.
Sustainability.
Yeah. Redundancy. Yeah. Yeah, man, it's a crazy industry we in. Next article that we got, last article that we got is Google parent company Alphabet is no longer a $1 trillion company. after the latest earnings miss, I keep wanting to say earnings call. But yeah, basically, oh, this is such bad news. I don't mean to be asked about it, but like Google is not a $1 trillion company. Sorry to hear. I'm sorry, not even Google. Alphabet is no longer a $1 trillion company. I can't feel bad for them, but I can't say nothing good for them because, you know, $1 trillion is a lot of money. If you lose $100 billion, you still got $900 billion. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's it's not that bad, but I mean, it's just one of those things. I feel like Alphabet has been fluctuating a lot in general because, you know, they recently just was talking about how they're changing the company mold, and they sort of they changed the CEO. So now Sundar Pichai is now the CEO of Alphabet, where it was the other two, Larry Page and Sergey Brin. They sort of stepped down. Eric Schmidt stepped down. It's Sundar Pichai's company now. Yeah,
pretty much he's running the ship.
Yeah, I'm about to call him Sasha Nadella, but that's the Apple dude. But I mean that's the Microsoft guy. But yeah, man, I mean he's sort of changing things up, and as he's changing things, being that they are a publicly traded company, you know, people are going to have their opinions about that, and that's going to be whether they sell or buy into Apple or into Alphabet. I really wish they'd never called that company Alphabet. They could have called it any other company. But
they could have just left it Google.
Right? I don't know why. I mean, they basically is Google. It's just Google now.
Yeah,
really,
man.
Like, they just made the CEO of Google the CEO of Alphabet. So now it should just all be Google. It's all legalese. That was somebody in some lawyer that they hired. Probably Drummond. Remember Drummond that we were talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, messing with them women, man. He probably was like, man, make Alphabet, man. Make that
Alphabet.
We can do it, man. We can do it. but yeah, man, like, so now they're not a $1 trillion company. And like I said, most of that just really comes from the changing of the guards. And, you know, with the changing of the guards is the changing of the business models. And people that are invested in, or companies, other higher paid people that are invested in, Google, you know, they're going to have their opinions on that, and the best way for them to place their vote on that is with their money, whether they invest into it or pull out from it. You know, Google has been facing a lot of competition. You know, their cloud competition with Amazon and Microsoft, and the advertising game has been changing up because of companies like Facebook and Amazon again getting into advertising. You know, the Android platform is always second to Apple. I mean, this is they got competition coming from everywhere, and it's not really like Alphabet is. I mean, Alphabet has a lot of other companies that they're, you know, placing their bets on. Yeah, they got a plan for like solar energy that they're applying on with these balloons.
And also, you know, they got, now I forgot, I don't know if it's with Google or Alphabet, you know, they're jumping into banking and cryptocurrency.
Yeah, 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 and so I think that's with Google directly. Mm-hmm. They got Waymo, which is like the driverless cars that they plan on doing. Like they're jumping into so many different industries that that advertisement business has been great for Apple. I mean, great for Google because they're able to even come out with all these other businesses in the first place because of the advertisement business. They make so much in the advertisement business that they can fund these new ventures to try to find another business that can potentially make them more money.
Right. They're in the know because you got to remember, like, the basis of Google is that they're data collection and analytics company. You know what I mean? Yeah. So they have, well, I think what aids them in jumping all over the place is that probably more than the other tech titans out there is that they have a lot of data that they can aggregate and say, like, you know, okay, this is what's happening over in this corner of the internet. This is the talk. So maybe we can start an initiative based on what's going on over there. Like, they have that power to do that. So I think that a part of what you see, like, what's happening with them not no longer being a trillion dollar company is that, well, Alphabet, you know, is they see that, you know, it's that thing of you having to invest in so many things. You got, sometimes you take a loss in order to double, triple your profits.
Yeah.
So, I mean, exactly. I don't really, that's why I look at this as it ain't really that. There's two ways you could look at it, though. Right, I don't really look at it, you know, be it that I make my little bit of money, I'm like, okay, you know, you lost 3% or 5%, whatever they say they lost. I'm like, okay, that's not that big of a deal. But, you know, so if you're a $1 trillion company and then you lose $100 billion, you're down at $9 billion. Like, you only have 9 of those left.
It said, you know, 3%.
3%. Okay, whatever.
Like 3%. Yeah.
I mean, but I'm thinking, it's a bad, you know, I'm like, how often, you know, how hard would it be for them to lose another $100 billion, if that makes sense? Like, is it going to be like every year they're going to lose $100 billion? I don't think so, but I'm nowhere in that position to even be like thinking about if that's a good or bad thing. Just for me, as far as for the company goes, I just, from my position, I don't really think it's cause for concern because, you know, again, I look at it as, you know, what Alphabet is doing is they are investing in different things that, who's to know, within the next 10 years could, you know, make them a $2 or $3 trillion company.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, like you say, you got to spend money to make money. And I mean, even if they're not necessarily earning money at that moment, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're not investing.
Right.
It's just one of those things. I feel like if they're not going to be a $1 trillion company today, give it like 3 months and then they'll be a $1 trillion company. We'll be talking about this again. I feel like we brought this up one time before. It might've been like Microsoft or something else saying, oh yeah, Microsoft's a $1 trillion company now. And in another week or so, they won't be the $1 trillion company anymore. Like Amazon will be a $1 trillion company and then they may fall off. Apple will be a $1 trillion company. They'll fall off. They're all teetering on that line, man. It's just a back and forth that they're doing because for real, ain't no company ever really made $1 trillion. So to even see these four hitting it is a interesting thing. And that's why it keeps coming up. And more than likely, all four of them will surpass the $1 trillion company marking. It's just right now, it's an unbelievable thing that it even happened in the first place. So it's only natural for it to fluctuate. If you're looking at the narrowest sliver of if they made $1 trillion or not, then yeah, you're going to see them jump up and down. That's just the stock market, how it is. Yeah. But if you say, oh, we're looking to see if they still a $900 million company, $900 million company. Yeah, they still a $900 billion company. I mean, so like, I'm missing a $1 billion here and there, man. That's something so that they can. I mean, this is Forbes, so
yeah,
it's for the money. It's good talk for the money. How can they, you know, keep that money going north instead of south? It'll be interesting to see because nonetheless, companies like that are going to be the companies that are changing the world over the next 10 to 20 years. Right. And this is 2020. So I expect flying cars in the next couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you think about it historically, like in the 1900s, you know, you had the advent of automobiles, right?
Yeah.
What that has done. Like, look at, think about 100 years ago, a little bit over 100 years ago, like having a car in itself is just like a, like, what the hell? Like, you have a car, like, you're not doing horses no more, or like bikes or whatever. I mean, so
you can even say it like this. Just over 100 years ago, we just really had like power for cities, electricity for cities. Mm. Like 100 years ago, it was not a common thing to have a whole city be powered by electricity. Maybe a block, maybe a street.
That's,
I mean, maybe Broadway got lights. I mean, like, if that wasn't, but that was not a common thing. That was 100 years ago. Now look at us in 100 years. If the power go off for 18 hours, we about to start eating each other like savages. So like, is anything can happen? And this is just this is 2000, and we're in the first 20 years of that. Mm-hmm. Whatever these companies are gonna do, whether even these companies still exist or they happen to merge with each other, it's gonna be some stuff, man. It's gonna be some crazy stuff to think
that, because you know, yeah, like. The whole thing with the automobile industry, like, you know, with Henry Ford did with Ford, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, you know, exactly. What it's a lot of, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of companies that came up, that came and gone, or some that was like a thing, and then like several depressions happened. It's like, now it's no longer a thing. Like, how does technology change the landscape of how business develops society within the next 100 years? It's something that's just, you know, because there's no, before this, you know, some would argue it wasn't like that, right? But I think just based off of the recorded history, before the technology industry, things, the change of things, like, wasn't really as exponential. Mm-hmm. It wasn't as hyperbolic. But now that, you know, even like you said, for 100 years ago, right, it wasn't like power, you know, a fully powered city wasn't a thing. But then, you know, that's happened. And then you think over the past 40 years, what technology has done is like made that what it took 500 years to do before technology was able to accomplish that within 40.
Yeah, within the last 40 years, we had like a steep curve of innovation type. Yeah,
it's definitely hit, like, that exponential up curve. So,
I mean, it's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah,
it's going to be interesting to see. Hopefully, I mean, I won't be a pessimist, but every major thing has a fall, and then it got to go back up. So we climbing. Something's going to hit that cliff, and then we're going to go back up after we learn. I don't want to see what that thing going to be. It's going to be Trump crazy. That's the thing going on, World War III, but whatever. Yeah, man, I think that's all we got, man. I think that's all we got. We're going to wrap this joint up. If you guys like this show, we need you to go ahead and do the damn thing, which is like, subscribe, comment, and share. Also, if you want to actually listen to more of the podcast, more of the shows, or any other four shows, you can find us on all of your streaming services, YouTube, Facebook, all of the audio streaming services, you know, podcasts, iTunes podcasts, Apple podcasts, Google podcasts, all of them. Just Google us. Do the damn thing. Google us, find us, and you will listen and enjoy. Anything you got to say, Mike?
You hit the nail on the head, Mike. I'll just reiterate what you said, man. Just make sure you like, comment, subscribe, find us wherever you can find us, because we're there. And we got some more stuff coming your way, man. We got a couple of interviews coming up, too. We plan on hitting y'all with some new fire. So I want y'all to stay tuned, man. We got some great stuff coming your way.
Yeah. Y'all take it easy out there. Peace. All
right. Peace.